Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. I love how she says that, don't you? Good morning. It is Monday morning and a brand new week and school starting for some of us, especially here in Petaluma. I'm very excited. I think my son has a little excitement and nervousness going at the same time. And I have with us today Lori Marshall. And if you've been looking at my Facebook page, you'll notice that I just posted just now a little bit about Lori Marshall of the createpeaceproject.org. She is a painter and writer and a certified art teacher. Lori, can you tell us how you put all that together and why? And why you're so passionate about doing that?
Well, thank you, Sue. I'm very happy to be here with you today and to share my passions of trusting creativity and children and making spaces where trust abounds, because that's where creativity can thrive and that's where children can thrive. I'm a mother of two sons who are now 29 and 32, and I had such a blast raising them. It was the most important work that I've done. And I knew I wanted to be a teacher when I was 8 years old, because I loved making the safe, creative space for kids. I was the youngest of three daughters, so being able to be older than somebody was very... And I also loved to draw as a kid. But I gave up drawing when I was 10 because I couldn't draw all the leaves on a tree. Huh. I tried to draw 1,000 leaves and I gave up and said, I can't draw. And nobody said to me, you can draw the big simple shape of a tree. Mm-hmm. So I went through college and became a certified teacher. And when I came out at the age of 21, from Antioch College, which I just adored because it was so practical with our work experiences, I realized that I didn't have any clue about what my inner experience was. Uh-huh. And I'm an extreme extrovert. So I realized that when I started to draw, that all kinds of stuff would come out of me that was who I was, that was my unique mark, and that was my range of feelings. And I began to observe the world more closely through drawing, as well as be able to express my inner life. So I got a master's degree in art and began teaching in the public school system in rural Virginia. I taught the Gifted and Talented program, and I was so excited to see how important it is to acknowledge everybody's gifts, that all children are gifted. And I began to make large-scale murals where everyone could express their gifts and their vision together. And I used the model of trees, because all the leaves of the tree work together for the whole tree. So right. The thing that I gave up when I was 10 has become my life's work.
Right.
And
you know what I hear in that? I hear that even though all the leaves are different and beautiful, they all have something to contribute, and they're all very different. They're all working toward the same goal, and so are you. You're bringing people together all for the same goal, even though we're all totally different in our skills and in our weaknesses. We're all working for the same goal of making a beautiful mural. And I just...
Yes.
Yeah. And I just saw a most wonderful video that you did on YouTube. It's at youtube.com/watch, and it's got that gibberish address. You probably have a link for people that will make more sense. Can you tell them where to find that link to your video?
Right. If you go to YouTube and type in Madrone Singing Tree,
M-A-D-R-O-N-E,
N-E, U, of, it's the Madrone Singing Tree, A Vision to Action 2 on YouTube. You can see that film. And I have a YouTube channel, which is Lori Marshall, and there's about 30 different videos I've made, many of which are about the Singing Tree Project, which is the international mural project I've been doing with 15,000 people from over 50 countries, which was inspired by an 8-year-old girl, Meredith Miller, who said, well, hello, puppy.
Very sorry. Hang on, I'll mute myself.
That's okay. Okay. Meredith said that, she said, what if the whole world made a painting together? And that vision changed my life, to see, to imagine that all human beings could create something beautiful together. It's so moving. And I want to encourage all the parents out there to pay attention to what your child is drawn towards. That's the gold, to help them keep exploring what they're deeply interested in. Yes, expose them to what's out there. That's so important. But they come in with gifts that are needed by the world. And I listened to Meredith's vision, and it changed my life. I listened to my kids' fascinations with various things throughout their childhood, and they're both thriving and happy to lead them. We need to listen to our children. They are a source of wisdom.
Well, let's see. I was also going to ask you, one second, let me look at this. On that note, the role of children in history, you're talking about children in the here and now and how we should be listening to them and what they're interested in, and that's a really brilliant idea. And have we not done that historically? And what are we doing differently now?
Great question, Sue. So for 3.2 million years, humans lived in tribes that were no bigger than 170 to 200 people. Mm-hmm. And everybody knew everyone. And the children ran freely. This is when we were hunter and gatherers.
Mm-hmm.
They played with a group of kids who were multiple ages, and they mimicked what the adults would do, and they would help out at very specific times. And they knew that they had a useful role, as well as they had free time to play in nature.
Mm-hmm.
This is where human beings developed, outside in nature with multi-age groups being free to explore. When the Industrial Revolution came and we needed workers to follow orders and to, agriculture was there before. So agriculture started us settling down, and still the children would carry water and hoe crops. They were part of the adult world, which had some problems to it, but they also had a very clear purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Industrial Revolution came and the economic system wanted obedient cogs in a machine, our education system began to reflect that. And
right.
We forgot the unique voice that everyone had, that in the small village, if you came in and you were the musician, you did that, and if you were the loved to weave, you did that, and if you loved to cook, you know, everybody had their specialty. And
right.
And that disappeared with the Industrial Revolution. And now we're moving with the Technological Revolution. We still have much of the Industrial Revolution way of teaching our kids, which is an expert that you must obey and appease to get a good grade to go to college, still very deeply embedded. but things are getting radically changed with technology, with things like the Khan Academy, where anybody can learn anything they want to. And I am seeing many young people who are very dissatisfied with the education system and who want to go deeply into the things that they care about. And I just read Tony Wagner's new book, Creating Innovators, where he takes a look at 7 young people who were all innovators, the kid that developed the iPhone, I mean, like big time, who dropped out of Exeter and Harvard, and young women who have made social justice nonprofits in their low-income communities. And, you know, he talks about how important it is to honor the authenticity of your own interests and passions. And he says we need play, passion, and purpose. And that's what creates innovation. And what we're facing in the next decades is going to require innovation on a scale we've never thought of, because the earth is changing. There's more people. The earth could get meaner as it gets warmer. We don't want that for the sake of all the children. So children are dying to have purpose, mastery, autonomy, and connection. They want that. And you give them that, and they are just doing amazing things.
Right. Absolutely. And so how exactly are you helping them to do that? What events do you have coming up that you've organized, and what's going to be happening at those events?
Well, thank you so much for asking. So I work with Create Peace Project, which does peace building through art. And we're going to be creating the Willow Singing Tree of Living Waters for the Bioneers Conference, which is October 16th and 18th in San Rafael at the Civic Center. And
that's close to home.
Yeah. Students will be designing it, and the conference participants will be creating their vision of the role that water plays in their life, their wish for water, their prayer for water, their hope for water, and we'll be assembling that at the conference. So that's coming up. And I work with another fantastic nonprofit called Community Matters that trains young social leaders in elementary, middle, and high school, kids that are chosen by other kids as leaders, to recognize mistreatment and to transform mistreatment prevention program that's totally student-empowering. And I'm going to be doing trainings in Reno, Sacramento, Chino, Harvard, Illinois, over the next couple of months. So do quite a bit of traveling to share this work.
Do you tend on a regular basis to work with a lot of children who are bullied?
Yes, it just happens all the time.
Okay.
And
I'm sorry I interrupted with that, but I have another friend who also works with children who tend to be bullied a lot, and I had to know. That was just my little thing. I'm sorry I got you off track. What were you saying before?
Well, you know, in the training that I do with Community Matters, we teach kids that you can switch from being a target to being an aggressor in a heartbeat, and that a lot of times people who are aggressors, the kids who are aggressors, are being a target somewhere.
Right.
And that there's no fixed definition that this person is a bully.
Right.
That is mistreatment that you are doing right now. And
right.
I'd like you to stop, or I'm going to distract you, or I'm going to give you options of doing it differently to get what you need. And that's the training that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's asking for what you need and helping kids ask for what they need and is a, you know, the crafting of an intelligent childhood. And we're not doing enough of that, I don't think.
Right. And, my son actually grew up a very compassionate personality. And I think I came about partly because when he was just a baby, I handed him off a lot to family members, so he became very trusting of everyone because I gave him to know, I'm only going to hand you to people that we love and trust. And
beautiful.
So he sort of ingested that. He assimilated it, and then that's what he put out into the world. And children are either taught that or they're taught to hate. And, you know, there are children who are actually taught to hate, and they can be taught directly or indirectly, you know, because they see what their parents do, and their parents are really their first teachers. And there are some parents who are still very bigoted in our society, which is very, to my way of thinking, very outdated, outmoded way of being.
Go ahead.
And you can be bigoted against anyone for any reason at any time and not even realize that the thought you have is sort of a bigoted thought. But your kids will pick up on it and take it as gospel until a certain age when they start formulating their own opinions. And sometimes it takes them a very long time to have the opportunity or be pushed into formulating their own opinions, because we don't always stop to examine how our opinions were formed for a very long time.
Right.
And
I hear your concern about that.
Yeah.
So I'd like to just give a picture that I think is really important, which is that in those 3.2 million years that we were hunters and gatherers and we only knew 170 to 200 people, anybody who was not in our tribe was dangerous.
Uh-huh.
And if we got excluded from our tribe, we died from starvation or the other tribes getting us. So we have a huge, deep wiring for stranger danger. And when we began to do agriculture about 10,000 years ago, and then we began to have cities, we were interacting with more tribes. And we have this, so we have very deep hard wiring for racism. And we also have this deep hard wiring for curiosity.
Right.
And be creative, we are always in the state of curiosity, and we are experimenting, and we're seeing what happens, and we're open to possibility, and we're open to learning. And right now, you know, we have this assumption that, of course, it's crazy and awful to be racist, but that's 250-year-old brand new idea on the planet, and we don't do it very well. And the progress that we've made is in the face of this 3.2 million other years of development. So I want to give us compassion for the people who feel disenfranchised because they don't know who their tribe is, and they don't feel that their tribe is respected. And everybody wants to be proud of their tribe. And there's a lot going on. there's a lot of development that took millions of years to create. We are this naked vulnerable creature that needs family and needs our village so much. The way that you raised your son, that you gave him a village. Many families don't have that. They're isolated nuclear families trying to do it all on their own with two parents working, and the babies need to be a part of something and to have consistency with the people in their lives that love them up one side and down the other. It's just not happening enough. And we don't we don't value it and honor it. And now so many women are becoming career people and doing the roles that men did and coming home and very frustrated, needy children.
Right.
It's
a lot of moms are needy and frustrated too, because they don't always want to be away from home for the long hours that they are away from home and away from their children, but they don't tend to have a lot of choices. And if they do have a choice of taking their baby to work with them and leaving the baby in a sort of a daycare room, and then they have to go and breastfeed maybe or pump for whatever reason, maybe that's sort of an alienating process for them. Maybe their coworkers or their boss aren't making that a very pleasant process for them. Maybe they're making them feel like that
activity
is unwelcome in the workplace.
So we women need to keep making it clear that raising children is very important work to be honored and valued, and that all children need to be get their needs met. And we have to have a very strong voice.
Because of all the resources that we have on this planet, our children are really our most important and most valuable resource of all, doing some incredible, incredible work. And on that note, I really want to ask you, since we have only about 5 minutes left to this show, called The Wellness Guru, used to be called 100 People You Should Know, now it's called The Wellness Guru. How do we help you to keep our society well and healthy in the work that you do of working with children? How can we support you in that work?
Well, thank you. That's such a wonderful question. Well, I would love for you to go to the createpeaceproject.org website, and there's a place to donate there. Please check out, on that website, there's a section on the left that says current projects, and you'll see about the Singing Tree Project. You'll also find a wonderful book called Let's Create Peace that has daily peace practices, art for peace projects, and peace studies for fourth through college level. And that would be, that's available to you. I'm available to do coaching for parents and teachers and administrators on how do we use the kids' gifts, how do we harness their genius to help us with the problems that we're facing. And you can reach me at laurie@createpeaceproject.org. And I would also, there is a free download of the Singing Tree book that's called The Singing Trees, A Growing Forest, that has instructions about how to make a singing tree in your community. And anyone is welcome to use this joyous tool to envision success and have everyone in your community work together to create something beautiful. So I would like to send that link to you, and you could put it on your Someplace would that work?
I will definitely do that. Please, yes, please send me that link, and I'll put it on my Facebook page and in my blog and everywhere else I can think of. And, you know, we have a sort of a hot spot here in town where everybody goes for fun and activities, and it's a little cafe, and they've got their own web bulletin. So I know the owner of this cafe, and I want to send the link on to him and get you in touch with him about this project, or send you his.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I think this is the type of thing that would be great, because he often hosts art events in his cafe where people come together, and we put these sort of art things together as collages as a community and put them up on the wall in that cafe. And it's really, really fun.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Isn't it fun? Yes.
It is. And this seems like it would fit in so perfectly.
Wonderful. So, that would be so fun. And I would like to offer also a half-hour free consultation to anyone listening to the show to explore how you can support children, either as a parent or an administrator and a teacher. And I'm going to give you my phone number, which is 415-612-0401. That's 415-612-0401. And just let me know that you heard me speak on Sue's wonderful radio show.
It's called The Joyful Wellness Guru, and you've been listening with me to Lori Marshall. We were so honored to have you on the show today, Lori. Thank you so, so much for being here and telling us about the singing trees and all of your projects. It sounds like so, so much fun. And thank you so much for working with our children and giving them a good, wholesome place to be and to build their trust and to build their creativity and to build their genius. And I am going to let you go now. So would you like to say goodbye to my listeners first?
Yes. And I just want you to honor your own creativity. We're a part of nature. And when we create, the Creator flies through us.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for that last thought. I will let you go now so that I can say happy week to my listeners. It's a new week coming up. Make it the first moment of the rest of your life. And just know that you're going to have a wonderful week, and that's what will happen. And you've been listening to the Joyful Wellness Guru. It used to be 100 People You Should Know radio show. And please pass this on to your friends, as will I. I'd really like for everyone, just everyone everywhere, to hear this latest show. It was really, really great. Okay, this is Sue, your Joyful Wellness Guru, signing off. Enjoy your week.